Looking forward to a conversation here with Elliot Friedman momentarily. It's brought to you by Winterfest at Eastside Kia, where you can win your purchase. Get yourself a winter-ready Sorento with $3,000 cash savings or from $170 bi-weekly. Snow tires, remote starter, heated seats, all included. Go online and visit eastsidekia.ca. As you can tell, and audio evidence, our artist of the day is Dwight Yoakam today.
Remember the chick in this video?
Yes. There was a couple of them.
Sheesh.
He enjoyed those toit jeans, though, didn't he? It was a little much. It's like, jeez, dude. Settle in. Just settle in. Now, of course, the last time we talked to Elliot, I guess it would have been, what, Monday, Tuesday? Our artist of the day was Rush. And you were kind of hot and cold on Rush. Elliot, as you...
Not hot and cold. I was cold.
You just don't really care for Rush. Elliot, as you recall... Well, for those that missed it, you guys had a differing of opinion on Rush.
Elliot. Elliot Friedman is not a Rush fan.
Warner, do not slander me like that. I am a big Rush fan. Big one.
Yeah, it's our artist of the day, sir.
Great choice. I was standing. Saw them at Maple Leaf Gardens, Tragically Hip, open for them. Neil Peart, drum solo. Excellent. Excellent. Seriously, Warner, you don't like those guys?
Well, I don't hate them. I've never pushed play on a Rush song.
You are a sad human being.
Oh, and you know what? I dare say a terrible Canadian.
I would agree with that too, yes.
So there you go. Don't run afoul of Rush when you're around Elliot Friedman is what we've learned this week.
Takes his music seriously.
Certainly does. So I don't know where you are in Dwight Yoakam, but maybe we can jump right into the hockey discussion today.
I have to say, though, Dean, like every time you do that, somebody tweets me and says, can you please stop swearing? My kids listen to the station.
Well, I get
like two or three of those whenever you do those things.
Okay? Well, could you? I mean, please. Busy day, as you might have heard in our city yesterday. Your overall impressions, Elliot?
I think I was just surprised by the timing, especially since, Burke is very careful about the trade moratorium around Christmas. It seemed a little bit odd, but I do think that we're going to find out that he had some interest in some guys who are being interviewed in Buffalo, so I do think that forced his hand a little bit. The Nieuwendyk one is interesting. I haven't reached him yet. I've sent out notes, but I'm hearing that he probably isn't a fit for him. He's got teenagers, I think, now who are in school in Dallas, and I'm not so sure he's interested in moving them. At least that's the information I get from people who know him, although I have not spoken to him directly. So, like I said, I thought the timing was weird simply because Burke makes a big deal out of not trading players at this time of year, but I think we all realized that this was going to happen at some point or another.
Just further on Joe Nieuwendyk, former Flame grade, but former Dallas Stars general manager, John Shannon yesterday did confirm that Burke asked and received permission from the Stars to talk to Joe Nieuwendyk. Now, Marty Turco was on Sportsnet last night on the panel and did mention he had spoken with Nieuwendyk, but as a two-year point, apparently happy spending time with his family and not interested in the job at this time.
So, yeah, that's what I believe. I think Turco's a bit closer to Nieuwendyk than I am, so he's a good source. But like I said, I've spoken to several people who know Nieuwendyk well, and they had the same information that his kids. At some point in life, and Burke went through, certainly has gone through this process too, even as much as you love hockey, you have a chance to dedicate yourself a bit more to your family, because family often gets put second, and I think that this is Nieuwendyk's time to do it. So I don't think that, and barring a major philosophical change, I don't think he's going to end up the general manager in Calgary.
So who are the candidates in the forefront? I know that maybe you don't want to spill the beans a little bit. You've got your...
No, I don't mind, because one thing I've learned a bit, unless you get something really secret, it's tough to keep it quiet for almost 48 hours. I think that, obviously that you look for people that Brian has connections to. And obviously the Toronto guys, Dave Poulin and Claude Loisel, are going to be on this list, I think. He has a very good relationship with Mike Gillis's assistant, Lawrence Gilman, in Vancouver. Gilman's background is not scouting, but if Brian is going to hire two positions, as he basically said he would, I could see the possibility that Gilman is in that mix. I still think that Jim Benning, and this is the interesting one to me, it's, you know, if Burke made this move because he's concerned about somebody who's in the mix in Buffalo, I think Jim Benning would be that guy. I know that the Sabres have some pretty serious interest in him. He has an excellent background for drafting, and not only drafting but development. So I think that if he is making a preemptive strike here, that's the guy probably on his list. And, you know, the other guy here who I would consider, and I don't know if he'd be interested, but is Ron Hextall. At some point, Ron Hextall is going to get the job in Philadelphia, but if the Flyers make some comeback here, it might not be now. I think a lot of us figured it would be after this season if the Flyers flamed out and Paul Holmgren decided that, you know, it was time for a change. Now that they're making a bit of a charge back, it may not be as certain. And I don't know if he'd be interested in the job, but I think he's a guy that's definitely worth reaching out to.
Can we backtrack just for a second? Jay Feaster, he's gone. Looking back over the stuff he's done here in Calgary, what's your opinion on it, I guess?
Well, I think the thing that we always find out in these jobs, Rhett, is that we don't really get a good idea for a couple of years until after a guy left. Like, if you look at Burke himself in Toronto, if you looked at him 2 or 3 years into his term, you were like, what on earth is going on here? And now that he's been gone a year, you know, the Kessel deal doesn't look anywhere near as bad, and the Van Riemsdyk-Schenn deal looks like a 21st century heist. So I think you should always wait a couple of years. Let's see how Gaudreau turns out. You know, Burke praised him yesterday. Let's see how the goalie there turns out, Gillies. You know, he has a chance to have some real later-round steals for the organization. You know, I think some of the trades probably didn't work out as well as he wanted them to, no question. But I think the thing that the toughest thing to grade Feaster on, and I do think that when the Flames go through their interviews, the biggest question that the candidates are going to have is, what is the power structure of this organization, and how much interference am I going to have? That is the biggest knock the Flames have as an organization right now outside, that there are too many people who get to make decisions, and it's very hard for a hockey guy to have control. Now, Burke, I'm sure, didn't come in there unless he had the power, but I think, you know, there was a pretty good setup in Toronto for him at the end. He was the overseer, but Nonis ran a lot of the day-to-day. And I think the question is going to be, can he find somebody who's going to be happy with that kind of situation? Because if you come in there as the GM of the Flames, you're probably not going to have the ultimate authority. Burke will. So I think that's the big question there.
Well, you won't have the authority, and you'd best sing from the, you know, from the same hymn book. Because you need to have the same philosophy.
Truculence?
Yeah, you need to subscribe to bigger players, big and strong, and I don't know that that's necessarily...
Well, I think you have to be careful about that, because Burke did go out and get... Like, Kessel's not like a monster player. And even Grabowski, who he signed to a big deal before they bought him out after he left, you know, obviously, Burke, there is a bit of an unfair misnomer there. He likes size, and I think on a team like this, where... the team isn't necessarily a top team. He wants them to be entertaining in that way. But if you're a smaller skilled player, he'll find room for you on the first couple of lines. But the one thing that's unusual is it's very unusual for a general manager to come out, Dean, and say, this is the way we're going to play before you begin the hiring process.
Mm-hmm. Elliot Friedman is our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. What about Darcy Regier? And I was going to ask you, Rhett, and we've not gotten to it, obviously, your affiliation with him through Buffalo. He would be the other side, right, as opposed to a Fenton or Benning, who would be first-time GMs. This guy has been a GM and was for a long time. What, I mean, would he be interested in this kind of a spot?
I bet you he would be. I mean, at the end of the day, all these guys want to do is work. And I think Darcy Regier was very excited about the opportunity he was going to have in Buffalo to repaint the canvas, and the job is very similar. The only reason I would say that he's probably not a candidate is that Burke talked yesterday in his media conference about how this was going to be a first-time guy's chance. So it would seem that he's not going to go that kind of a route. But, you know, he's an Alberta guy, obviously. And, you know, the one thing about Regier is he's, you know, sometimes their development was a question, but they drafted pretty well. So I could see him definitely being interested in the job. I just don't know it's a fit based on the criteria Burke outlined.
Yeah. If you had a, in the clubhouse, a clubhouse leader at this point, who would you, your odds
too
on
soon, favorite? I think. Yeah. I think it's too soon. I want to see, like, and now all of us who are reporting are looking, Dean, and, you know, Burke said, the report obviously came out yesterday about a new Indyke, and then Burke said he's going to make some requests last night, or he hinted towards it, so we kind of have to figure out who he's requesting before we can pin that one down. Like, I remember when Dean Lombardi made a coaching change in LA 2 years ago, we all knew it was going to be Daryl Sutter. That was very clear, very quick. I'm not sure this one is as clear that quickly yet.
Oh, except that Daryl was lassoing cows or something and couldn't be found, wasn't he? Kind of.
Well, no, what it was the pipeline fight. They didn't want, you know, because Canada and the U.S. were fighting over that pipeline.
Oh, is that what it is?
The U.S. didn't want to give clearance for Sutter to come in so quickly, as if it was his fault.
Right. Priorities, I suppose. The name Jim Benning is an interesting one to me, Elliot. You look at what Boston's done between you know, Seidenberg and some other moves that they've made, the way they've drafted, and he did say that already he had requested and received permission to talk to somebody. Now maybe that's Fenton, but
that was Newendike.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's an Alberta guy too, Jim Benning. I can't help but wonder if maybe he's going to get a really long look.
Well, like Burke said yesterday, like, you always try to read into what he says, because Burke's pretty blunt, so he usually gives you some pretty good hints. And I thought and it made sense to me that one of the reasons he did it when he did was because of Buffalo's hire too. And, you know, there is a belief that Benning has, well, he's definitely interviewed once, and this morning, although I can't confirm it, that he may have interviewed twice. Now, so if that's true, and if I have that information, Burke would probably have better access to information, then if he pulls the trigger because he's worried Buffalo's going to hire Benning or Fenton, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it does. And I think the Sabres have a lot of interest in Benning because he has a great reputation as a drafter and developer, and also it weakens a division opponent if you take him from there.
Is there – okay, now it's a two-horse race.
Well, I still think it's too early for that.
But do you think that there's guys out there going, like, if you're picking and you mm-hmm. have the choice,
mm-hmm.
you can go to Buffalo or mm-hmm. Calgary. Where are you going? You're on Calgary
Radio.
I
think there's two questions. Like, first of all, in a vacuum, both situations are potentially excellent. Okay? Because the Calgary Flames have cap room and money. That's awesome. If you're a GM and come some big draft picks coming up, if you're a potential GM, you're looking at that and saying, I like that. The Buffalo Sabres have a lot of draft picks coming up. They have a cap room, and they have an owner who is dying to spend money on the team. So that's, you know, you're looking at that same situation and saying, okay, you know, I love that. I think the biggest questions are, in both situations, is going to be, in Buffalo, how much power are you going to have? Like, does Pat LaFontaine, is he going to be a guy who sits back and says, look, I don't know the job yet, I'm going to let you do it and I'm going to learn? Or is he going to say, look, you're going to be the GM for 2 years or 3 years and then I'm taking over? Or is he going to say, look, I'm in charge right now, I need you to be my assistant? And that's the kind of the same thing that's happening and going to happen in Calgary. Somebody's going to walk in, and they're going to have to find out from Burke and above Burke, hey, how does this work? Like, who's got the final say? How much opinion will I have? And I think that the situation in both jobs right now that will be a question to the candidates is exactly that. How is the hierarchy going to work, and how much control do I really have? Some guys are happier being in the background. Like, Rick Dudley's a perfect example. But some guys, when they go in, they want to know they're going in with their ability to call the shots.
Do you think Ladislav Smead will give number three back to Phaneuf next year, or will Phaneuf take a different number?
Well, you know what? I'll bet you that's been talked about. Now they probably go in there and say, you know, Dion's hometown is or is from Edmonton. I know they'd like a defenseman, and they'll say, you know what? Maybe we'll have two offers from Alberta because Burke is back there too. It's a good point. I like that. I like the way you think, Dean.
You're welcome. I'll be looking for that this weekend. Have a great weekend, buddy.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, brought to you by Winterfest at Eastside Kia, where you can win your purchase. Get a winter-ready Sorento with $3,000 cash savings or $170 bi-weekly. Snow tires, remote starter, heated seat, all included. Visit eastsidekia.ca.